Just what is this rite of transference? I mean, what exactly does it do? And while we're on the subject, why haven't I been told about it before?
Because it hasn't been used in 300 years. The last time it was declared, it was used to establish the present royal line after extensive inbreeding had made the old line worthless. I'd forgotten the damn thing was still on the law books.
All right, so it's legal. But can the regent back it up? Does he have the troops? And would the court stand for it? I mean, their interests are tied in with the prince's, aren't they?
Not necessarily, actor. The aristocracy is based on blood, and as things stand, anyone with blood could use the crown and seal to make themselves king. As far as the court is concerned, this is a once-in-a-lifetime chance to ascend to the throne. Not that it'll happen that way, of course.
Wait, why not?
Because neither I nor my brothers will stand for it, that's why not. As you pointed out, in the end it all comes down to force of arms. The regent commands the castle guards, but as princes, we each have our own private troops. More than enough to take the crown and seal away from whoever has them.
You're talking about waging a war in your own country. Not just against the regent, but against your brothers as well. How many of your people would die in those wars? Not just your guards and men-at-arms. How many peasants and townspeople? How many farmers and merchants? How many men, women, and children would have to die to make you king? Hundreds? Thousands?
At least. It isn't important. It is my right to be king. And it is the duty of all my subjects to fight, and if need be, die for their king.
I'm not sure raising an army would prove all that easy, Your Highness. With so many questions still unanswered over King Malcolm's death, nobody trusts anybody anymore. The way things are, neither you nor your brothers can be as sure of support as you once could.
No one can blame me. I was in exile when the old man died.
Yes, sire, you were, but you could have ordered it done.
Look, it seems to me that we're worrying too much about things that haven't happened and might never happen. If we worry about every little thing that could go wrong, we'll never get anything done. Let's stick to things that actually matter. For example, how was my performance? Nobody said a thing about it yet. Was I convincing?
Do I need to work on the voice more?
Trust an actor to care only about his reviews.
You did very well, sire. You were Prince Victor to the life. And stepping in to help Daemon Cord against the Unreal was a good move. It never hurts to be conspicuously brave in front of the right people. It might even draw us some popular support at court later on.
Yes. Well, that as may be. In the meantime, we'll let you know if your work's not up to standard, actor. I've done enough for one evening. My head hurts. I'm going back to my quarters.
Not yet, Your Highness. We still have the other glamour spell to do.
What? Another glamour spell? No one said anything to me about another glamour spell.
It's just a little something to help you in your performance as Victor. You've done very well so far, considering, but whilst you look and sound very much like Prince Victor, you still wouldn't convince anyone who knew the prince well. It's not your fault. You haven't had a chance to meet His Highness in person before now, so you haven't been able to acquire all the little mannerisms, phrases of speech and so on, that help to make up his private and public faces. This new glamour spell will graft these things directly onto your memory, much as the first spell gave you Victor's appearance. It's really all there is to it.
Jordan thought about it. There was something about this new spell that disturbed him very deeply. The first spell had simply altered his outer appearance. That hadn't been so bad once you get used to it. Actors did it all the time with costumes, wigs, and makeup. But this new spell would change the way he spoke and moved, perhaps even the way he thought, and yet he couldn't say no. They were right. There wasn't time to learn the part by observation. He had to be perfect straight away. And this was the only way.
All right. Let's do it.
Excellent. Have a seat.
Jordan's palms were wet with sweat, and he rubbed them unobtrusively against the chair arms to dry them. The prince was sitting up straight in his chair, despite his obvious tiredness. He didn't even look worried, the smug bastard. The Lady Heather looked at Jordan as if he was some interesting exhibit in a private zoo. He tried to settle himself more comfortably in his chair, but each position seemed worse than the last. It was all in his mind, he knew that, but it didn't help his nerves at all. He hated to be kept waiting. Robert Argent was watching him closely, and Jordan kept his expression carefully calm. He glanced across at Sir Gawain, hoping for a little moral support, but the knight had turned his face away, as if he couldn't bear to watch what was about to happen. Jordan began to regulate his breathing, keeping it slow and steady, and set about calming his nerves, as he had so often before, standing in the wings of a stage, waiting to go out on the boards and do what he was born to do. His composure slowly came back to him, and his muscles began to relax in ones and twos. He was the great Jordan. He could handle this. Roderick looked at him and then at the prince. He nodded, satisfied.